We read in the Gospel of Luke, as Jesus' disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, really only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This story is a warning that we can be so busy with even doing good things that we neglect the one thing that Jesus said was the most important: spending time focused on him. And this will be the primary point of my message this morning. Devoting time to meet with God is the most important thing you can do every day. I realize that's a bold statement. The most important thing you can do every day, but I think I can demonstrate my primary point in this message. My primary text will be from Psalm 134. There we read, the psalmist said, "Let my meditation be pleasing to him. As for me, I shall be glad in the Lord." This message will introduce one of the seven Christian essentials of Christian habits. And it can be called a God time. That's my topic today. What is a God time? It's a conversation with God. And it essentially involves listening to God in Scripture and talking to God in prayer. That's essentially what we're talking about here today. Every man or woman who did great things for God spent a lot of time with God. Moses spent 40 days on a mountain with God and numerous other times in the tent of meeting. All of David's Psalms are a record of God times. The Apostle Paul constantly referred to his prayer life. Jesus spent much time with his Father because he loved him, and it was strengthening for him to do that. The Bible says Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. And then at another time, we read, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Jesus showed us how to live on earth with a relationship with God. If you want to be like Jesus, if you want to serve like Jesus, you also need to spend time with the Father like Jesus did. If Jesus needed to often meet with his Father, how much more do we need to do this? All of these great servants of God would say with the psalmist, "Let my meditation be pleasing to him. As for me, I shall be glad in the Lord." And I believe that Moses, David, Jesus, and Paul would all agree with my primary point today. Devoting time to meet with God is the most important thing you can do every day. So first, let me answer a question, a simple one. What is a God time? The psalmist described his God time when he said, "Let my meditation be pleasing to him." Meditation is really not a very good translation of the Hebrew word here, but it is used in virtually all English Bibles. The Theological Word Book of the Old Testament explains that the Hebrew word here means a wide variety of things, including meditation, complaint, communication, talking, and prayer. The word is translated in all of these ways in the Psalms to describe God times. The word is even translated as sing in Judges. It is a good word to describe focusing our mind on conversing with God. In that sense, meditation is perhaps the best one word that would translate that Hebrew word. So as noted earlier, a God time is a conversation with God. It essentially involves listening to him in Scripture and talking to him in prayer. In Scripture, God speaks to us, and in prayer, we speak to him. And through that conversation, we grow closer to God. What is more important in your life than that? Which is why our primary point, again, is devoting time to meet with God is the most important thing you can do every day. Still, many Christians neglect this habit in their life. Like Martha, they get too busy, Or if they do it, is simply to avoid feeling guilty about not doing it. Devoting time to focus on God feels burdensome to many. Therefore, let's first talk about why we should devote time to meet with God every day. First and foremost, notice what our primary point is saying. A God time is an actual meeting with the Almighty God. Do you believe that? Wow, if we did believe that, we'd do it constantly. Perhaps the greatest challenge to experiencing consistent and encouraging God times is this. It requires faith. You cannot physically see or hear the God you are spending time with. You can feel like you are just talking to the air. Every God time requires you to do a very difficult thing. Fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. And what is unseen is that your prayers and praises are heard by God and make your Father smile. That's really what's happening. This is one reason God is so pleased with your God times. He knows that such faith is difficult. Your choosing to exercise faith to spend time with Him is a great act of love for Him. The Bible says you love Him even though you have never seen Him. Though you do not see Him now, you trust Him and you rejoice with a glorious and inexpressible joy. And even though you can't see Him now, you spend time with Him because you love Him. Look at what the psalmist believed about his God times when he wrote, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God?" First, notice that he recognized his great spiritual need for God. He felt his soul being thirsty for God. How would the spiritual thirst of his soul be satisfied? By meeting with the living God. It was a personal meeting with God that he was looking forward to. The Hebrew here means to appear in God's presence. Wow. What a privilege. Of course, for the psalmist, this especially meant going to the temple. That's where they believed they would meet with God. But for us as Christians, we are the temple of God. We can meet with God anytime. We have an even greater privilege than all the Old Testament saints had. This idea of meeting with God and appearing in God's presence in our God times is repeated in the New Testament. When we read in Hebrews, "Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." What a privilege. Do you see what Christ's death on the cross purchased for us? It made us holy so we can meet with our gracious God and even boldly approach His throne. Christian, if we became convinced that a God time is actually devoted to meeting with God, to appear before Him, we would understand the incredible privilege that we have, and I think we'd be more eager to do this if we understood and was reminded God time is actually meeting with God, the most important person in the entire universe. This is what Mary believed. She understood what a great privilege it was to meet with Jesus, and nothing else mattered to her. Jesus repeats this idea that in a God time, we appear before God. He said, "When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen." There it is again. "Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Yes, your Father is unseen. This is why God time requires faith. But while you cannot see God, He sees you. He hears you. In all the hustle and bustle of this world that God is watching, He notices when one of His kids wants to spend time with Him and talk with Him. He notices. God Almighty. We are tempted to think that this is impossible. Our Father in heaven is watching the whole world. How does He notice me when I am talking to Him in prayer or listening to Him in Scripture? Because your real Father is God Almighty and nothing's impossible for Him. He can do whatever He wants. He knows everything. He knows and hears and sees when you have a God time. Listen, what God's children and people are doing every day is by far the most important thing to God. It's not what's the stuff. It's not the stuff that's on the news. It's what his people are doing. That's what he's watching. Because of his love for us, he is constantly watching us and definitely knows when we are having a God time. A God time is an actual meeting with God. So we need to visit heaven every day and meet with our Father to receive his perspective, his promises, and his commands, and then come back to earth, so to speak, and serve him. That's what a God time is, in a sense, going to heaven in our spirit to meet with God. So the first reason we should be motivated every day to have a God time is because it is a real meeting with a real God, or as the psalmist said, the living God. Our primary text also reminds us that we are appearing before God, but it adds the result of our meeting with God. Listen to this. The psalmist said, "Let my meditation be pleasing to him. As for me, I shall be glad in the Lord." We please God in a God time because he sees us focusing on him. But our text introduces another important reason for a God time. It pleases God. God times give God joy. I think this is the most important reason that we should have a God time, is because of what it does for God, not necessarily for us. What did the psalmist want to accomplish in his God time? He said, "Let my meditation be pleasing to him." To please someone means to give them pleasure and joy. Imagine this, Christian. God experiences joy and pleasure when you pray to him, think about him, or listen to him in his word. Your God time blesses and pleases God. An important goal for our life is to give God pleasure and joy. And our God times can do this. God is honored and glorified, encouraged and blessed when his children spend time with him. Which is perhaps one reason that Jesus said to Martha that really there is only one thing that God's people need to do. Spend time focusing on God. Sometimes as young Christians, we feel a little awkward talking to God in prayer or understanding God in scripture. We do not feel very good at these things, then we wish we were more experienced like our pastors. We might think, surely God enjoys the pastor's God times more than mine. No. Your Father in heaven is thrilled with any efforts you make to pray and know his word. Do you have children? Do you remember the first time they opened their eyes and looked at you? Or the first time they tried to communicate with you? Didn't it send a thrill through your heart? Did it matter if they made complete sense or their words were stated perfectly? No. Didn't matter. They didn't even have words. They just made sounds. And it gave you so much joy. Just a glance from the eyes of your newborn son or daughter made your heart beat faster. And later, when they were able to smile at you, it gave you so much joy. Why? Why do we experience that? Because God, your Father, is the same way. He put that in you. Being thrilled with the baby's desire to talk to you or even look at you is exactly what your Father experiences when one of his children focuses their attention on him. Think about all the wicked and ungrateful people that your Father will see and hear on earth today. Imagine how much joy and pleasure he experiences when he sees and hears you spending time with him to praise him and to try to obey him. You are going to spend all eternity with God Almighty, your Father. Why not begin now by spending time with him every day? Loving, pleasing, and blessing God is the ultimate and primary reason you should do anything. And a God time, a conversation with God, is one of the most important ways that we can do this every single day. In fact, if you do not take some time each day to talk and listen to your Father in heaven, can we really claim that we are loving him at all? Spend time with God first and foremost to please him, bless him, honor him, glorify him, and to love him. And so the primary point of this message is devoting time to meet with God is the most important thing you can do every day. And we say with the psalmist, let my meditation be pleasing to him. As for me, I shall be glad in the Lord. And the primary purpose for a God time is, in my opinion, to bless God. But of course, a God time blesses us too, doesn't it? So another reason to be devoted to a God time is that God times give you joy. Again, our primary text says, let my meditation be pleasing to him. As for me, I shall be glad in the Lord. There's a connection here between meditating on God, pleasing God, and being glad in the Lord. The psalmist believed that spending time with God would be a great source of joy in his life. There's nothing that humans want more than to feel joy and happiness. I believe God put that desire in us. He created us that way. So we see the abundant blessing of a God time. They make both God and his children glad on this earth, no matter what else is happening. The great Protestant reformer Martin Luther said this. He said, I want to spend enough time with Jesus every day that my heart gets glad. I like that. This is how you know you have really experienced God in your God time. Your praise, prayer, openness, and meditation on God's word has replaced your anger and your anxiety and your apathy with love, joy, and peace. That's how you know you've actually met with God. God wants us to serve him and others with joy and peace, not feeling anxious and overwhelmed. This is so important in the Christian life. The Bible says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Not just righteousness, but also peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, because anyone who serves Christ in this way, with peace and joy, is pleasing to God and receives human approval. To please God is not enough to serve Christ with just righteousness, but also peace and joy. This is one way we know we are serving with the right heart and motives throughout our day. And having a God time at the beginning of your day is one of the best ways to ensure you will please God by serving him and people and your children with peace and joy, is to have that God time and be connected with him. And this is another reason Jesus told Martha, few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Yes, Martha was sacrificially serving our Lord and others, but something very important was missing in her serving. The text says Martha was distracted by all the preparations. The Greek here literally means to be dragged away. Martha got dragged away from what even she probably wanted for herself. Martha knew who Jesus was. She called him Lord. She certainly wanted to spend time listening to Jesus, who was the most famous preacher in all of Judea, and he was in her home. Why did she get dragged away from him? Because she was putting all of these demands on herself. Notice that Jesus was not even wanting these things. He would have preferred that Martha joined her sister Mary and sat at his feet to listen to him. That's what Jesus would have wanted. He would have been glad to just have leftovers for the meal. Notice that Martha's to-do list for her day had things on it that Jesus didn't even want, if it meant she did not have time to spend with him. And we do the same. We let things that we think are urgent and important distract us and drag us away from our need to spend time with God. We forget the primary point of our message today. Devoting time to meet with God is the most important thing you can do every day. What was the result for Martha with not spending time with Jesus? Well, even though she was sacrificially and generously serving Jesus and others, how was she feeling? Jesus himself told Martha, "You are worried and upset about many things." Martha was struggling so much, she even asked Jesus, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Even as she is trying to serve Jesus and people, Martha was feeling worried, stressed out, alone, and overwhelmed. Even angry at both her sister and even Jesus. She questions if Jesus even cares about her. And she thinks the problem that Jesus needs to solve is to change her circumstances and even change her sister. Sound familiar? We can think the same. These are all things that will happen to us. Even as we are trying to serve God and people, if we are not devoted to God times. What was Jesus' response? Martha, Martha, few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better. I want you to hear the compassion in Jesus' voice. He's not exasperated with Martha. He's saying, Martha, Martha. He knows what's going on inside of her heart. And he's concerned about her. And God is concerned about us and has compassion on us when we're neglecting our time with him. And as a result, we're getting dragged away from him by all kinds of distractions. And as a result, dealing with anxiety and feeling alone and overwhelmed and even angry like Martha was. Jesus told Martha, Mary has chosen what is better. In fact, it is the most necessary thing in your life. Why? Because if you do not spend time listening to Jesus, you will lose your strength, your joy, and peace to serve Jesus. And your serving will be empty. If we are going to live a God-pleasing and glorifying life, we need to recognize a necessary progression in our life. This is how God made us. First our heart, then our head and hands. It's got to be in that order. Throughout our day, we are going to work and serve God and people by thinking with our minds and working with our hands. But from God's perspective, how well we do those things that day depends on what's going on in our heart. Let me quote from Romans 14 again. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God, serving with peace and joy. It will not matter what we are doing with our head and hands if our hearts are not connected to God. Jesus put it this way, I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing, at least nothing worth doing. Living through your day without being connected to Jesus will be a wasted day, no matter what you're doing. And one of the best ways to ensure you are experiencing Jesus throughout your day is to begin your day by meeting with God in a God time. If you want to have a happy life serving God and people, then it is more important for God to change your heart in a God time than for him to change your circumstances and other people. All of this is another reason Jesus told Martha that focusing on him was about the only thing that mattered, because doing everything else in a God-pleasing way depends on that. There's something Martha did not understand. Martha thought all the things she did for Jesus was more important than just being with Jesus. She thought it was more important to be Jesus' servant than to be his friend. But what did Jesus say to his disciples? I no longer call you servants. Instead, I have called you friends. That's what Jesus wants. It was more important to Jesus that his followers were his friends rather than even his servants. But if we never spend time with Jesus to simply focus on our friendship with him, we will miss this in our Christian life. One reason we neglect to spend time with our Father is that we forget who we are. God, listen, Christian, God is your dad, and you are his son or daughter. Imagine you had a child who rarely, if ever, talked to you or spent time with you listening to you. And as their parent, you had all kinds of wonderful things you wanted to tell them, but they seemed uninterested. They had more important things to do. They could have a conversation with you, but they simply choose not to because they're so busy with other things. As a parent, how would that make you feel? Hurt. Hurt. Do you think you love your children more than your father loves you? Do you think you desire to spend time with your children more than God desires to spend time with you? Make sure you have a God time every day. Failing to have effective God times is one of the most common reasons that the Christian life becomes hard, overwhelming, exhausting, and dull? Because we don't have a God time that day. Why are we getting tired of serving people and God? Why have we lost our joy in the Christian life? Because we are not consistently connecting to God in our God times. When we are not spending time meeting with God, we easily forget our purpose, our blessings, and all the reasons we are supposed to serve God and people. We forget the reason that we're living. Many Christians feel like they need to eat breakfast to nourish their bodies and have physical strength at the beginning of every day, but God also created our spirits to need God times to nourish our souls at the beginning of every day. The Bible scholar Warren Wiersbe said, "Few things are as damaging to the Christian life as trying to work for Christ without taking time to commune with Christ. Unless we meet Christ personally and privately each day, we will soon end up like Martha, busy but not blessed." Whoa. Busy but not blessed, not happy. Oh my goodness, how many Christians' lives can be explained that way, described that way, busy but not blessed. Let it not be true of us, because we spend time with God every day like Mary did. Our primary text reminds us of these things. The psalmist said, "Let my meditation be pleasing to him. As for me, I shall be glad in the Lord." And all of this supports my primary point. Devoting time to meet with God is the most important thing you can do every day. Have I convinced you yet on that? Finally, we can discuss some practical advice for how to have an effective God time. Fortunately, the scriptures and experience tell us there are some helpful elements of a God time. They can be reflected in the acronym POWER. It reminds you that one of the purposes for a God time is receiving spiritual power and encouragement to serve God. One of the most difficult things about spending time with God is to stay focused. And the POWER plan for a God time will help you do that. POWER stands for praise, openness, word, entreaties, and resolutions. In my experience of spending time with God for 40 years now, these five elements are, I would say, essential to effectively spending time with God. I'm going to cover each one of these in later messages. This is because they are all essential habits of the Christian life, among the seven essential Christian habits of the Christian life. One young man who has been using the POWER plan for, I guess, many years, he's a member of our church, he wrote this about how the POWER plan for God times has helped him. Quote, "The POWER plan has transformed the way I relate to God. What I have found most life-changing is beginning my God times with praise. That alone has made the difference between having an indifferent heart to having an engaged heart. It really has kickstarted the rest of my time with God, so I feel more connected to him. I've also discovered that being open with God prepares me to focus on the word. Because I've already expressed my anxieties to the Lord, my mind no longer drifts to those. Lastly, praying through scripture instead of just reading through it has been a game changer. It prevents the word from feeling dry. It brings the word to life. It makes reading the Bible feel more like maintaining an actual relationship rather than just accumulating more information," unquote. That last point is very important, and I'll talk about that in a later message. I hope that the POWER plan will help you in similar ways. The POWER plan is not intended to be legalistic. Some will enjoy and connect with God more through different parts of it. For example, David connected with God through music and said, "I will sing about your power. Each morning I will sing with joy about your unfailing love." Others will enjoy journaling during their God time. You need to experiment and feel free to do what helps you the most to experience God in your God times. Finally, I can offer some additional suggestions about your God times, but again, with no desire to be legalistic here. First, it is really best to choose a specific time and place for your God time. Okay, this is a meeting with God. It's an important thing. Schedule it and be faithful to it. Try to find a place where you can pray out loud for reasons I will share in a later message about praying. It's very helpful to pray out loud for all kinds of reasons. So find a place that you can do that is my recommendation. Second, consider scheduling your daily God time in the morning like first thing in the morning. I mean, before you eat breakfast, maybe. You're feeding your soul is more important than feeding your body, isn't it? David said, listen to my voice. He said this to God, listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning I bring my requests to you and wait expectantly. And of course, we read earlier about Jesus that very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Giving God the first part of your day is one way to honor him. Again, as our primary point states, devoting time to meet with God is the most important thing you can do every day. Therefore, why not make it the first thing you do every day? Maybe after you go to the bathroom. Third is, let me ask this, is posture important for spending time with God? Again, I don't want to be legalistic, but it may be more important than you might think, okay? Scripture describes how to meet with God when it says, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is God. The Apostle Paul practiced this and said to the Ephesians, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father. Scripture says at least three times that there is coming a day when every knee will bow before God. We can kneel now at the beginning of every day as a sign of respect to our King. You know, millions of Muslims bow before their false God five times a day. Millions of them. Five times a day, they kneel. They put their head on the floor before their false God. Most Christians do not kneel before our real God even once a day. Something wrong with that. An entire God time need not be spent on your knees, but perhaps you can do this during your time of praise when you're worshiping him. Finally, how long should a God time be? Again, our primary text is helpful. The psalmist said, let my meditation be pleasing to him. As for me, I shall be glad in the Lord. So a purpose of our meditation and praise and prayer in a God time is to be glad in the Lord. Therefore, I will repeat what I said earlier. Luther said, I want to spend enough time with Jesus every day that my heart gets glad. Sometimes that may take 10 minutes. Sometimes that may take an hour, okay, to get glad. But this, again, is how you know you have really experienced God in your God time. Your praise and your prayer, your openness and meditation on God's word has, again, replaced your anger and your anxiety and your apathy and your love. I'm sorry, with love, joy, and peace. I would encourage you not to leave your God time until you feel glad in the Lord. Obviously, you can and should fellowship with God all day long, but ideally, you should leave your God time with the power to serve, love, and glorify God throughout your day. However, it may be good to set a time goal for your God time. This will help you stretch your soul. You might be amazed at how difficult it will be to simply focus on praising God for literally 2 minutes, or to pray for other people and focus on that for even 3 minutes. You might be amazed sometimes how difficult that is. But longer times, so a good initial goal is to spend 20 minutes each day going through the power plan for God time. That's my recommendation. But longer times can certainly be more life-changing. This is why you're encouraged to schedule an extended one-hour God time once a week. That too will be discussed more in another message. The psalmist said, let my meditation be pleasing to him. As for me, I shall be glad in the Lord. A daily God time of listening to God in Scripture and talking to God in praise and prayer is one of the very best ways to please God and experience the gladness the psalmist was talking about. So the primary point of this message is, again, devoting time to meet with God is the most important thing you can do every single day. Amen? Spend a moment with the person next to you discussing what was most meaningful to you about today's message, and I'll come up back up here and pray in a moment.